Hey everybody, I'm Cody.
And I'm Billy.
And this is the Film Feed News.
What? No. Like that?
Never.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of everybody. So, we got a few news articles we got to go over today.
We just got like a slew of just awesome information.
Yeah, it's true. And, once again, I like to preface that this isn't our only show, so you should also check us out on Tuesday. We're going to do a review of the movie Cooties.
Yeah.
And that's going to be
little
a lot of fun.
Little kid zombies.
Yeah. Excited. Little kid zombies. So, do you want to hit this first? I know you've got a few things.
Yeah, we've just got some good stuff coming out, it sounds like. We've got a movie planned for, like, January next year.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that it's releasing that early, and we're just now hearing about it. But apparently, Shia LaBeouf, you know, he recently had some altercations in New York City.
This is actually something I was going to bring to the table, so we have to stop doing this. Just in general.
So he had some altercations in New York. Obviously the Women's Day protests and stuff. He was out there speaking out against Trump, and there were some people that were very pro-Nazi that got up in his face, and there were some altercations, and he got arrested. Well, it turns out there's a silver lining to this story, because in his stay in this prison in Queens, he was inspired to create a sequel to Holes.
Yeah, so I actually have a quote from Shy, I've got to find it on here. Hold on.
God damn it, Billy. You're never prepared.
I know. Well, see, I was waiting till it was my turn to talk about the news, because this is something that I was going to talk about, man. All right. And while incarcerated, I learned a lot about innocence and what it means to me. And back... The most innocent time of my life I remember was being in Holes, and that's all he said. He just ended it there.
Wow.
And they probably cut it off, yeah, but he said that prison taught him a lot about innocence.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally see that. I mean, he's locked in. They probably put him in solitary, because motherfucker's crazy. He probably came in there barking at people and just, like, flipping over fucking trays and found the biggest dude in prison and just pissed on his leg. Like...
Or you just reenacted the whole song? Actual cannibal Shiloh. this motherfucker's eating people. Early release. He's gonna be the next goddamn Batman.
He's just fucking chewing on the fucking sheriff as they're dragging him to his cell.
I believe he also went on to say, the article I pulled up, he said that it was gonna focus more on the poisonous lizards than anything else.
Obviously.
Almost like a creature feature.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Those fucking... What were they called?
I don't remember now. They were
like some kind of skink, and there was.
Look it up.
I wonder if he's gonna bring back the sploosh.
The sploosh?
Yeah, the stuff in the jar. That's how they stayed alive when they were out in the desert. It was the fucking like fermented peaches, and they were just really getting drunk.
They were called yellow spotted lizards.
I'd swear they had like a name for them in the book though. Like, just like a little one word name. It's been for fucking ever since I read that book or saw the movie.
A yellow spotted lizard is a poisonous creature that inhabits the arid wasteland of Green Lake. Each lizard has yellow eyes, black teeth, red rimmed eyelids, milky white tongue, greenish skin, and 11 spots. However, if you get close enough to count the spots, you're probably dead. A yellow spotted lizard is more venomous than a rattlesnake or a scorpion. One bite can cause a slow, painful death. Always one thing that saved Stanley and Zero was that after eating a large amount of onions, Sam used onions as yellow spotted lizard repellent.
That's what it was. It was fermented onions.
Ah.
The reason I was thinking it was peaches.
Actually,
I guess that just sounds more delicious to me than fermented onion juice.
That actually reminds me of something.
Oh, no, that's what it was. The sploosh. They were drinking fermented peaches, but they were eating the green onions that were growing by the little water source on top of the mountain that he had to carry Zero down from, which broke the fucking curse. I remember this goddamn movie.
It's been a long time. Anyway, talking about these yellow lizards, it reminds me of something from work. And I know I've been talking about work from time to time, but this is actually pretty great. So, this is a long time ago, and I wish I told you about this when it happened, because this has been brought up a few times. There's somebody I work with who started talking about hoop snakes. As if they were a real thing. They thought they were real because their grandmother told them about hoop snakes.
I don't think anybody not in the South knows what a hoop snake is.
So a hoop snake is a snake that bites its own tail and then wheels after you like a fucking wagon wheel, pretty much.
Yeah.
It will chase you.
Like a living
tumbleweed.
Mostly
downhill, yes. Yeah. But it's supposed to be really poisonous as well. And she believed this. She 100% thought it was true because her grandmother told her that. Which was pretty fantastic because that day, I watched this old man just look this lady point blank in the face and be like, well, your grandma was full of shit. Like, it just got so real. But we started looking up facts about hoop snakes, and I was trying not to laugh because that lady was there.
Yeah.
And somebody else was doing it. They were just, like, reading hoop snake facts out loud, and he was doing it just to make her mad. I was trying to stay out of it, but then it said a single bite from a hoop snake can kill a fully grown adult tree. And I lost my shit. I just couldn't stop laughing, and I just got up and left. I was like, I'm fucking done. A fully grown adult tree.
Oh, fuck.
So they're really poisonous. Not as poisonous as these yellow lizards.
That's intense. But no, there's not a lot of details. And like I said, I'm really surprised the movies are releasing early January next year. Fucking, and I think I heard something about it was going to be a one-man production. So like, I guess he's like writing, directing, and holding the boom mic at the same time.
And you know, he is always trying to go for the super artistic. Like I remember he did like his like open exhibit where he sat in a room and he like cried.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Like he had all of his like movie memorabilia around him and he would sit there and he would just cry and anyone who wanted to could walk in and say whatever they wanted to him and he had like a bag over his head. And he said later on that someone raped him in there. I remember that coming up.
Jesus.
And then the part of that story that I enjoy is that across the street from it, Jerry O'Connell opened up another exhibit. I swear to God, he opened up another exhibit across the fucking street where instead of sitting there and crying, it was still the same setup where he was sitting in the middle of a room and is surrounded by his movie memorabilia. But once you got in there, he wouldn't stop talking about how awesome he was. And I think it put the Shia LaBeouf exhibit out of business. You can go and talk and hang out with Jerry O'Connell and he's like, aren't I the best? I rock so hard.
Fantastic.
But yeah, that's one of my favorite things that ever happened. I love Jerry O'Connell. I think he's an awesome actor. He's a lot of fun. And obviously, he has the best sense of humor ever.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, how would you even do that? So I've got a piece of news to throw out now.
All right.
We've had a lot of back and forth with the DC's doing this, and now they're doing this, and a while back, we got some news about the Shazam movie.
Yeah.
They for whatever reason, they cast Black Adam before they cast Shazam. Now, this movie's supposed to come out 2019, so we still have plenty of time. As most of you probably know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's playing Black Adam in this Shazam movie.
Yeah.
But they think they finally found their Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, which I'm assuming I don't know as much about Shazam. He's a really cool hero. But I'm assuming that they changed his name from Captain Marvel to Shazam because of Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
I think it was just confusing for people. And those of you who don't know, Shazam is kind of like, he's a kid.
Yeah.
He's a little kid named Billy Batson. And he says Shazam. And then he turns into a superhero that's, like, almost the equivalent of Superman. Like,
yeah. He
flies, super strength, all
yeah,
that
there's
stuff.
Like, there's, like, the origin story, there's, like, something about, like, he gets his powers from, like, some, like, ancient wizard or some shit like that.
Yeah. And I think his weakness is someone else saying Shazam or saying it backwards or something, and it turns him back into the little kid.
Mazash! Mazash!
Which at what at point I guess would turn him into a little kid again.
Yeah.
And they could just execute him at that point, but then all he has to do is say Shazam again, and he's just right back in it. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I don't really follow the character that much.
Yeah, it adds some weird mechanics issues.
But he's interesting.
Like Mr.
enough.
Fucking Mitzelplick.
Mr.
Yeah, this is a lesser known little bad guy. I think they featured him in one of the Justice League cartoons. But it was one of the things where if you got him to say his name or whatever, it like banished him back to whatever fucking plane of existence he was on.
Isn't that how the Great Gazoo worked in like the Hanna-Barbera universe?
Something.
You know what?
Yeah. There's all. You know what you said? That's a weird constant in like fucking animation and cartoons and comics and stuff like that, where there's somebody whose power is just saying a name.
Then you.
Which honestly, now that I think about it, probably has its roots in religion, because if you look at like some pagan religions, they're like, you know, giving something a name gives it power.
Yeah.
So. That could be direct. I'm going on a weird little tangent here. Yeah. That's completely unrelated to what we're talking about.
So anyway, apparently Seth Rogen has been getting tired of doing nothing but comedic roles. Like he did a little some more dramatic stuff when he did like 50-50 and stuff like that. But he wants to be a superhero now, apparently, and he is now, I think, the top of the shortlist for Shazam.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting choice, just in general. It leads me to believe that DC is trying to have more fun in their movies, which is one of their big critiques. But at the same time, I feel like that's kind of going to work against what Seth Rogen is wanting in the first place.
Right.
So I think that it's going to be this weird struggle where Seth Rogen's trying to push it for a really dark and gritty, like, DC movie, whereas DC is going to be trying to push for, like, Pineapple Express the superhero.
Yeah. I mean, it might still work in their favor. Like, they could have, like, all the comedy stuff be, like, when he's not on screen. Like, when the kid turns into fucking Shazam or whatever, and it's fucking Seth Rogen, like, it'll just become this super serious fucking dark, gritty movie. And just, like, no jokes whatsoever. And then when he turns back into the kid, that's when they have fun with it.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually glad you brought this story up, because I think I saw something the other day. They were really considering Seth Rogen and to play Billy Batson, they were going to get the kid from Stranger Things. I can't remember his name because it's fucking too many letters.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about though. Like
the little one with like the fro and the missing teeth. That's like my spirit animal in that fucking show. He's always talking about fucking food and how that's the solution to everything.
Yeah, I could see that working, but
I mean they kind of look alike.
I could see that. You know, I forgot what I was gonna say. Never mind. Never mind.
But I'm really interested to see the dynamic of fucking Dwayne Johnson being a villain to Seth Rogen being a superhero. Because this sounds terribly interesting.
Well, I mean, and you have to think, like, what are they... How much weight are they going to have Seth Rogen put off / build back up to be Shazam?
Right.
I mean, that's got to be a lot.
Maybe they'll just stick with his current appearance and be, like, the first superhero movie to actually embody American citizens.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what a real superhero looks like.
I can see them doing that. I don't know. So does Seth Rogen make you more likely or less likely? Because I know we've already seen a shift in tone from DC. Like, we saw that apparently Joss Whedon is going to be directing Batgirl. Which, I mean, he's been talking about wanting to do another superhero movie anyway.
Yeah. DC copying fucking Marvel again. Now they're stealing a director that they don't have anymore.
I will say that he said a long time ago that he wants to do other superhero movies. He just doesn't know if he wants to do them with Marvel, so that's probably his call. It's not anything like he's like, fuck Marvel. He's just like, I want to mess with other worlds and other universes and do things that way. But that shows, because he's always been a more fun director. He loves to kill the fuck out of people, but he likes us to have fun while he's doing it.
Yeah.
So,
I kind of want to be in on that, like, that first meeting that they pull him in on, where everybody's, you know, at least one of the executives or whatever is going to be like, okay, so you did a lot of shit for Marvel, and they're way better at making movies. what the fuck are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
And Joss is just like, zip, well, first thing.
Yeah.
And it just fucking lays out an entire DC universe, and all of a sudden the movies get a jillion times better.
So, but I mean, does the Seth Rogen's inclusion...
Absolutely.
All right, and
gets me way more excited about this fucking movie.
But The Rock didn't do it, though.
The Rock had me sold. Like, I wanted to see this movie. I just didn't think they were ever going to make it.
Yeah.
The fact that they cast the villain before they cast the hero, I'm just like, they're not really taking this seriously. I think Dwayne Johnson was just like, I want to be in a movie. And they're like, well, we don't want to tell Dwayne Johnson no.
Yeah.
Because he might break us all.
Yeah.
So we'll give him a role. We're just never going to make the movie.
Yeah. All right. So.
We'll say it got put off into production. But no, like, I'm really, really interested to see those two, like, fucking battle it out on screen, like, fist to fist, just fucking wailing on each other like it's a new Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah. That would be a really bizarre, like, position to take it. Like, do you want to see it, like, to the point where it's, like, Shazam driving around in fast cars?
No, but he will use wrecking balls.
He will use wrecking balls and atomic submarines. I told my stepdad about your reaction to the Fast and the Furious 8 trailer, and he couldn't stop laughing, because he hasn't seen them all either. And I was trying to explain to him, like, how they progress, and I was just like, put it this way... Cody didn't see any of the movies, like, after the second one.
Yeah,
so, like, he saw a trailer for the eighth one, and he was like, do you have any idea what's going on? And I was like, for real, progressively, it's just the next logical step. It's just...
I'm not the only one in this boat, though. I have seen so many memes since that trailer's come out of just how the fuck did Fast and Furious get from street racing to this bullshit.
Well, you have to watch, you know, those other five movies to really fill you in on it. And it kind of makes sense. Once you watch the five movies, you're like, oh, I see how it got there. It's weird. I'm not even trying to argue. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I guess you got one more piece of news, right?
Yeah. This is probably the most exciting news I've heard all year. We've seen a slew of Disney movies lately. Fucking yeah. Disney is just cranking out movies left and right. Just fucking, you got animation over here, you got live action over here, you got musicals over here, you got Broadway plays over here, you got merchandise on fucking everything.
And it's kind of disheartening sometimes. Like, I like Disney as a company.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they're doing right by Star Wars, they're doing right by Marvel. But I have a problem where I have a Vudu account, right?
Yeah.
And Disney movies have always just been more expensive than non-Disney movies. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
But my Vudu account links to my Disney account. So whenever I get, like, a Disney movie, it pops up in my Vudu account. But they don't really, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't, like, participate in any of, like, the Vudu things that they do. So, like, whenever they do Dis-to-Digital, no Disney movies work on that.
Hmm.
They let you share your Vudu library, and my library is shared with, like, multiple people now, and none of my Marvel movies, none of my Disney movies, none of my Star Wars movies, nothing shows up on their accounts. All my other movies do.
Yeah.
If it's Marvel, Disney, nothing.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's irritating that they're so, like, stingy about their properties, but I understand why. Yeah. It's just unfortunate.
But, I mean, we're moving into an age where it's almost like you consider these things two bodies. Like, there's Hollywood over in California, and then there's Disneywood down in southern Florida. And it's just like they're their own movie industry now.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even have to fucking outsource for anything. They just have their own things. And apparently they've been buying up some properties.
Yeah.
Not just, like, physical land properties. Like, they've been doing that, too. They're probably going to expand something into something crazy. But they've been buying up some movie properties. And one that really kind of went under everybody's radar until they announced the lead role was apparently they bought the rights to Striptease.
Yeah.
This is kind of a bizarre power play by Disney. It's really like they're telling Hollywood to go fuck itself. Like,
you know,
we can make movies that aren't for children, too.
I never even saw the original Striptease, and at first I thought you were talking about the movie Showgirls that the guy who made RoboCop made, and I was going to be a lot more excited, but I'd never actually seen Striptease, so I might not be the authority on this one.
It was some weird, like, 80s fucking movie about, I think it was like a stripper with like is heart that the gold one kind of thing.
She's a maniac. No, that's Flashdance.
Yeah, that's Flashdance.
It's hard to keep all the shit together.
Billy just doesn't know striptease at all. Well, Billy, you're about to learn something. All
right.
Because striptease is now going to be a magical thing. This is Disney's first venture into not only R-rated movies.
Well, no, because they own Miramax.
Right. But so they're taking a step further from that.
Yeah.
They're releasing an NC-17 version of striptease.
Yeah.
And the lead role, the female role, is being played by Betty White.
Okay.
So we are finally going to get what we've all wanted our entire lives, and we're going to get to see Betty White naked dancing on screen, and it's just going to be the best movie ever.
You know, she's getting up there, but she's still got it.
I'm pretty sure the movie's already won an Emmy.
It's not out yet.
I don't care.
my name is Cody, and I'm making my own rules.
Everybody looked at this fucking movie in concept form, and they were like, this is bizarre. But then they cast Betty Roll, and they're just like, they win.
Yeah.
What do we do? Hollywood's actually going to close now. Disney's going to be the only company in America making movies from this point on.
Yeah.
Like, after you gyrate fucking Betty White's flabby ass at people, what the fuck else is there to do?
You could make a sequel to Air Bud again.
I'm glad you said something about Air Bud. Did you know that the fucking NBA actually had Air Bud come on and, like, fucking host a basketball game? No. On live TV. They gave him a little tie. They put a fucking microphone set on him. And it was just a regular NBA game. I don't remember like what level of fucking bullshit sports it was. Because it's sports and I don't know. But they had him sitting there as a fucking like shoutcaster to this game. And the dog just kept barking. Like, he was super excited to be there, so he's just in there, burr, burr, while the other guy, that poor fucking schmuck that they sat in the booth with him, is trying to talk fucking basketball with an actual fucking dog.
Hey, there's no rule saying a dog can't commentate basketball.
There's not! I wish I was making this story up. This is fucking real life. Air Bud was a fucking caster on fucking actual basketball.
God damn it. So, for me, I feel like the striptease movie is going to be something that goes into developmental hell. I don't know if they actually have the balls to pull the trigger on it.
Yeah. I mean, they've already won the awards. So, I mean, do they even need to release the movie at that
I don't
point?
Even know they even have to make it if they've already gotten that much. I mean, I'm sure they will, because, I mean, you know that the whole crew is expecting to get paid and watch Betty White while they get paid.
Absolutely.
I mean, wouldn't you?
I'd do it for free. So, I mean, if we're getting down to it.
You know, there was like this trend going on where like all these soldiers would send invitations to like the formal like soldiers dance or whatever to like supermodels and celebrities and things like that. And almost all of them said yes, because they're like, this is someone serving the country and things like that.
This
and
is a huge publicity stunt for my
career. Yeah, right. One person said no. Do you know who said no?
Mm.
Betty White. This was recent, too.
In
the last like couple of years, she was like, you know what? I think that you can just find somebody that would be more fun to accompany you. And that's all she said. She was like, I just thanks, but no thanks. I'm not doing that. Which shows she has integrity, which makes it an even bigger deal that she's doing this.
I'm pretty sure she co-wrote it. Like,
she co-wrote
when they came to her with the idea, she was just like, well, I'm not just going to do some cockamamie bullshit remake of anything. Like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. I'm going to sit down with fucking the son of Dean Martin and figure this shit out. And we're going to make sure that every detail is perfect. Like, she went to 37 different stores to find nipple tassels that were just the right color to match the original fucking movie.
Yeah.
She also refused to outsource any building materials. The entire movie's made in America. She even made sure that the steel was formed in an American steel mill.
Yeah.
So she's really repping the old red, white, and blue for this movie.
And I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of steel for the poles
exactly
in this movie.
Yeah.
So she's going to be dancing on All-American Steel.
Absolutely.
That's pretty fantastic.
She also said something about she would only agree to do the project if Bon Jovi did 30% of the soundtrack.
Yeah. You know what? No one believes me. I'm going to say this. I 100% believe that Bon Jovi wrote the theme song to Pokemon under a fake name. I'm just saying, listen to the words of that fucking song, and then try to tell me Bon Jovi didn't write it, and then you'll feel like you're lying to me.
I mean, it definitely has that energy level. So, fucking Bon Jovi and Pokemon. That's fantastic.
Who, you know, it'd be really impressive. Like, this is one of my what-if moments. So we watched this striptease movie with Betty White, and the last song that she dances to in the movie is that, "In the arms of nature." And then we have to see how someone could accomplish dancing seductively to that song.
If anybody could.
It's Betty White.
Betty White is the first person you ask.
I agree. So, is that everything we got this week? Nothing.
I think so. Like, there may have been a couple other news stories, but honestly, I don't want to watch any other movies ever again until I can see Betty White and striptease.
And what is that supposed to mean?
I think we just need to stop the show. Like, no. Until that movie comes out, like, there's no point. There's never going to be a movie ever again to live up to that moment.
I worked really hard on all this. That's fucked up, man.
I mean, it is what it is. We both know this movie's perfect.
I hate you right now. Fucking stupid. Just turn off the mic. God damn it. I still want to watch Cooties.
All right, fine. God damn it. Fucking tune in Tuesday. I guess we're going to watch an obviously inferior movie.
It's not inferior, it's Cooties. The Saw Man made it.
So till then, I'm Cody.
I hate you!
And this is the Film Feed's last episode.
I hate you.
Film Feed News!